I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn to the book of Joshua. I would like to read from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is how God told Joshua, and then Joshua told the children of Israel, to be strong and of good courage. Now, the strength that he's talking about is not a physical strength where you lift weights or do other kinds of things to exercise to be strong, but rather it means to be established and to be valiant, to be strong. Sometimes when someone loses a loved one or someone is facing other kinds of troubles and problems, we might say to that individual, be strong. That is, I hope that God will bless you to be valiant as you go through what you're about to face in your life. The Word of God says to be strong, to be firm. And then the Word of God says, and to be of a good courage. Now, courage is something that the Word of God speaks about a lot. And the word courage means to meet danger and problems without fear. To meet danger and problems without fear. That's one of the definitions, is to meet danger and problems without fear. Now, you may be afraid, but when you meet those problems, you meet them without fear because of your confidence in God. Now, that's good courage. See, you can have courage that is really a bad courage. And that's the reason the Word of God says to be strong and of a good courage, because if your courage is based on your confidence in yourself, then that's a bad courage. On the other hand, if your courage is based on your confidence in God, that's a good courage. I want to begin reading Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and read through verse 9. The Word of God says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan." Now, brethren, there are a lot of different Jordans you have to face in your life. And as they began to go over this Jordan, they needed to be strong and of good courage. Joshua especially needed to be strong and of good courage because he was going to be leading them over the Jordan River. I believe that every one of you, I believe that God has called every one of you to be a leader to one degree or another. And as a leader, you need to be strong and of good courage. And you need to encourage others as they face troubles and problems in their lives. You need to be an example to them, and you need to encourage them to be strong and of good courage. So Moses is dead, and God tells Joshua, "Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Verse 3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Brethren, that's the main reason that you can have courage, is if you can feel God with you. So many times, I believe that there are times that I don't feel God with me. And when I don't feel God's presence with me, then I am filled with fear. But if I can feel the presence of God, if I can truly in my soul feel that God is with me and know that God is with me, and that God is guiding me, and God is directing me, and God is telling me exactly what I need to be doing, as the Spirit of God leads me, then I will have great courage if I can feel and know that. So that's what God told Joshua. He says, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. And after he says that, after he says, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, then in verse 6 he says, be strong and of a good courage. And he's going to say that three times to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now, did it take a lot of courage for Joshua to do, and that's what he says here, to observe to do all according to the law? Was it hard for the people of God to do things exactly the way God told them to do it? Brethren, it was hard for them, and it's still hard for us. But it is extremely important that we learn to do all things the way God tells us to do them. Last Sunday night, we tried to study from Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, where the Word of God speaks about how God told Moses, see that thou do all things according to the pattern that was given to thee in the mount. Has God given you a pattern for your life? Has God given the church a pattern? Has God given your family a pattern? Does God's Word describe exactly, does it tell us what a family is supposed to be? Does the Word of God even describe what a nation is supposed to be? And does the Word of God give a pattern for a nation? Indeed it does. God's given us the pattern, and as long as we will follow God's pattern, God will bless us. And so it takes courage to follow God's pattern. It takes courage to do things God's way instead of our way, because our way will always be different than God's way. And that's the reason that God told Joshua here, he says, see that thou observe to do according to all the law. It was important for Joshua to be sure the people of God followed all the law. And what would he need? What would Joshua need in order to be sure, as the leader of the children of Israel, what would he need, what would he have to have in order to be sure that all of Israel followed all the laws of God? What would he need? He would need courage. He would need what kind of courage? He would need good courage. He would need to be strong and of good courage. Remember, there is a bad courage. There are people that often have courage. They're actually very foolish in what they're doing. There are people that are very bold, and they seem to have no fear whatsoever. They don't fear God. They don't fear the ways of God. They don't fear the things of God. And they have a lot of courage, but that's not what the Word of God is talking about when it talks about be of a good courage. This good courage is courage that is a result of doing what God says and feeling God's strength while you do what God is telling you to do. He says, see that thou do observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the left, to the right hand, or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Can you prosper? And brethren, usually when we think of prosper in our materialistic society, we think of financial gain. And that's not what the Word of God is talking about here. When it says that if you do what God says, that you will prosper, it's not talking about that you will necessarily be rich or that you will have a lot of goods, but rather it's talking about that God will bless your life. You'll have a full life. You'll have a rich life if you will observe to do all the things that God tells you to do. I have never in my life seen a child of God that committed their lives in service to God and was faithful because of the strength that God gave them and because of the courage they had because of their faith in God, I have never seen a child of God that tried to observe to do all things God told them to do that was ever anything but prosperous. And by that, I mean that I've never seen one that was ever unhappy with their lives. Because what I mean is, I'm not talking about they were completely satisfied with their service to God, but every child of God that tries to serve God and follow God and obey God, that child of God is going to have great peace and great joy in his life. Much like the Apostle Paul said as he neared the end of his life. And he said, I have finished. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Listen, brethren, that's a prosperous man that can say that. A man that can at the close of his life say and feel and know, I have done what God told me to do. A man or a woman or a boy or a girl that can lay down their life and say as they face death, they can say, God has been with me and has blessed me all the days of my life. And I've had great peace in doing what God told me to do. That individual is a prosperous person. That's an individual that has had a full life, a blessed life. Can you have a prosperous life? Does God give you that promise that you can be prosperous in that way if you'll just follow and observe and do what God has taught you to do? Indeed, you will. You will have a prosperous life, and your family will be prosperous if you follow the Word of God in your home and in your family. You'll have a prosperous family. And the church will prosper when the church does what God tells her to do. And the nation will prosper when it's a nation that is under God and fears God and sets the laws in the land according to the laws of God. That nation will prosper. But every nation that forgets God, the Bible says that the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Now, brethren, you talk about fear. There is a lot to fear in this life. And yet, when you have courage from God, no matter what this world is coming to, let me ask you this question. I believe that many of God's people are afraid of our president. And many of God's people are afraid of our government. And I want all of you to know that the government we have today in America and the president that we have in America today is very much against the Word of God. Now, you cannot know anything about our government and our president without knowing they are very much against the Word of God. Therefore, they're against God. And I am concerned about the direction that our nation is going. But it is wrong for me to fear the president or the government. It's wrong for me to be afraid of them. Brethren, the people of God ought to have more courage. The people of God need to be strong and of good courage. I don't believe that you and I have to face as much as what Joshua did right here. I don't believe that you and I have to face any more than the apostles had to face. When the apostles were living in their lives, did they have a government that encouraged them to do what they were doing? Did they have people over them in civil government that were pleased with what the apostles were doing? Were the governments in the day of the early church, were they supportive of Christianity? Indeed not. But what did those Christians, what did the early Christians have? They were strong and of good courage. They had the right kind of courage. They were bold. They went forward serving God regardless of the cost and regardless of the consequences. And they could be put to death or be put in prison and have no fear, because even in prison, who was with them? And even as they faced death, who was with them? Now that's a prosperous life, to have no fear of men. Did you know that? That's a prosperous life. And I encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would do and follow everything God says in His Word, and that you would speak out and stand up for the things that are right and the things that are true, that you would be what you ought to be, that you're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that you would be strong and of good courage, and that you would uphold the banner and standard of truth and righteousness, that you would do as the Word of God says, that you would stand in the gap, and that you would be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if you follow Jesus, and you do what Jesus says, and you put God first in your life, you'll be prosperous. The same way God was telling Moses, or rather Joshua, that if you do what I say, if you observe to do all that I say, then you'll be prosperous. Now listen to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Brethren, do we still have the book of the law? Do we still have the Word of God today? You know, some people say we're not under the law, we're under grace. And they use that expression, though it is Scripture, they use that expression as an excuse not to do what the Word of God says. And there's no way the devil is more effective than to take Scripture and use Scripture as an excuse to not do what other Scripture says. Brethren, this is the Word of God, and it is in perfect harmony from Genesis through Revelation. And there are no contradictions in the Word of God. And God's Word teaches that the people of God, Jesus Christ Himself said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." And the law of God and the rules of right and wrong, they have never changed. The same rules of right and wrong that God established as He gave the laws to Moses, those same laws are still true today. The same things that were wrong 2,000 years ago, the same things that were wrong 200 years ago, those things are still wrong today. And it's important that you and I, have courage to stand up and say, "This is right and this is wrong." Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Is it hard for you to meditate? You know, one of the most discomforting and one of the most difficult things in the world is for us to face silence today. To face silence, to be quiet, and to meditate. If I said we're going to spend the next 10 minutes meditating, we're going to spend the next 10 minutes just meditating on the Word of God, and exhort every one of you to not do anything else during the next 10 minutes, but just meditate on the Word of God. How many of you think that you could spend the next 10 minutes only meditating on the Word of God? Do you hear my question? How many of you think that you could actually, truthfully, honestly spend the next 10 minutes only meditating on the Word of God? I haven't seen but one hand. Why is it so difficult for us to meditate? Why is it so difficult for us to be still and commune with God and meditate on the Word of God? Why is that difficult? I believe that the devil has done a very effective job of keeping our lives filled with noise and other things and activities that would interfere with us spending alone time with God. And in order for us to be close to God, we have to spend a lot of alone time with God. We have to spend a lot of quiet time with God. We have to spend time meditating on the Word of God. You and I cannot be a good soldier of Jesus Christ if we don't spend a lot of time meditating on God and God's Word. David, over and over in the book of Psalms, he said he meditated on the Word of God day and night. Could David spend 10 minutes meditating, just quiet meditation? If you think, brethren, if you think it's good for you to have all this music and all this noise and all the television and all the other things going on in the background, but you can still meditate anyway, I'm afraid that you're being deceived by Satan. We want to have all these other things because Satan has deceived us into thinking we're still close to God, when in reality we're like Peter who followed God. What's the next two words say about Peter? He followed God, what? Afar off. Afar off. Afar off. You remember how when Samson, the Word of God says that the Spirit of God departed from Samson, and the Scripture says, and he knew it not. He didn't even know it. Listen, brethren, if the devil can keep your life filled with all the rat race and activities and all the noise and all the confusion, if he can keep you from meditating on the Word of God, you cannot be strong and of good courage. Joshua here is given instruction by God. God tells Joshua what he has to do, not what he possibly should do, not what he might do, but what Joshua had to do in order to be strong and of good courage. And one of the things he had to do was remember that God was with him, and the second thing he had to remember was to meditate on the Word of God and remember the Word of God and think about the Word of God. Those are expressions that the Word of God uses in this and the next few chapters to Joshua about the importance of Joshua meditating, thinking on, and remembering the Word of God. Be strong. Brethren, I don't believe that there's ever been a generation that needs more strength and more courage than our generation needs today. Now, what I said was, I don't believe there's ever been a generation that needs more strength and more courage to face the problems. Listen, brethren, I believe that every generation has had problems to face. Every generation, every child of God that has ever followed God's Word, every child of God that's ever tried to do what's right, they have needed to be strong and of good courage. They needed to remember that God was with them, and they needed to remember the Word of God. But I don't believe there's ever been a generation that has needed it any more than we need it in our nation today. You need, you children, you parents, you grandparents, you need to learn how to be strong and of good courage. You need to read and study the Word of God and look at the saints of God that were strong and of good courage. Let me say there's three things. I said there are two things because in this chapter there are two things, but now I just thought of a third thing. There are actually three things that will help you to be strong and of good courage. One is to meditate and remember the Word of God. The second thing is to remember that God is with you when you're doing what He tells you to do. And the third thing is, you need to remember how God has blessed other saints of God who have done what God says to do. You hear the third thing? And that's in this chapter also. I'm not going to take the time to go back and find it right now. But God tells Joshua he must remember how God was with them in days gone by. You and I need to remember how God has been with you. Brother Mitchell, has God been with you in a very special way since? I don't think there's probably been anything else in your life that had as a profound effect as that did. He came as near death as probably anybody in this church could, and had it not been for God's protective hedge round about him, he would not be alive today. God was with him. God protected him. God has strengthened him. God has restored him. God has lifted him up. But listen, brethren, it's so easy. How many of you have faced difficult problems, been in bad situations, like Brother Mitchell, and then what happens so quickly after you get well, after you get better? Say it again. We forget. I can get so close to God in times of trouble, in times of difficulty, times of sickness, yours or mine or whatever. I can get so close to God that I can almost see God. But I can feel His presence. I can feel His power. And I can make promises to Him, and I think, I'll never get away from You again, Lord. I'm going to walk with You so close the rest of my life. And then as I begin to prosper and get well, and You get well, and things get better, the songwriter says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Brethren, we need to pray. God, help me. Help me to remember the difficult situations You've brought me out of. Help me to remember that whatever I face in the future, that Your grace is sufficient for me. And whatever else, Brother Mitchell will, and he will face other great problems in his life down the road. And as he faces those problems, he needs to reflect back on what he has just been through and remember how God was with him and blessed him. And the same thing is true of every one of us. And we need to remember those things. We need to remember what God has done for us in days gone by. It will help you prepare for the battles that you face today and tomorrow. For example, David, when he went out against Goliath, he said, "The Lord, that what? The Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from this Philistine." Do you remember those words? What was David doing right there? David was reflecting back and remembering how God had been with him and delivered him in days gone by, and that God would be with him in the future. So many saints of God, as we read the Word of God, they were strong and of good courage. You remember how Esther, the queen, you remember how the decree had been made that all the Jews were going to be killed. And you remember how her uncle told her to go to the king, and she said, "I can't go to the king. I'll be killed if I go to the king without him summoning me." And then as her uncle talked to her, as Mordecai talked to her, do you remember how she began to be strong and of good courage? And then she finally said, as she was about to go to the king, she said, "If I die," what? "I die." Listen, brethren, you don't need to be afraid of death. I don't need to be afraid of death. There is no reason for you to fear death. When I die, I'm going home to be with the Lord right then. Not because I've been good enough or faithful enough to God, but I'm going home to be with God because of God's amazing grace and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But you and I have you and I ought not to fear death at all. There is nothing we have to fear in this world. We ought not to fear men. Jesus commanded that. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, He said, "Fear not man who is able to kill the body, but fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear God, but don't fear men." Don't fear men. Don't fear men. Let me read verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, we're still in Joshua 1, verse 8. God tells Joshua, He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." How many of you are doing all that's written in the Word of God? How many of you are doing all that's written in the Word of God? Does God tell Moses that he can do all that's written in the Word of God? Does He say that you need to meditate on the Word of God? You need to remember the Word of God so that you can observe to do all that is written therein. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Is God's Word true? Can God lie? If we follow God's Word, Will we be prosperous and have good success? Absolutely. The devil and all of his angels can't prevent it. Well, you might say, well, what about John the Baptist? Did he do what was right when he went to Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife? Was John the Baptist strong? Was he of good courage? Did he have great courage to go up to that man that could kill him and say, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife? It's not lawful for your brother and his wife to have divorced and you to take your brother's wife and marry her. And by the way, he had married her, and yet it was not legal in the sight of God. And John the Baptist told him it was not right. And when John the Baptist told him it was not right, it led to his death. Now, doesn't that prove to you that it doesn't benefit you to stand where God's Word says to stand sometimes? Some of your heads are still going, No. Listen, brethren, John the Baptist, God was with him, brethren. God was with him. His head rolled. Yes, it did. It's all right. God was right there with him. This idea that you've got to maneuver things around so that you can stay alive, and you've got to compromise in certain situations. You've got to compromise in certain situations to keep your job so you can feed your family. Or you've got to compromise in certain situations and do things that you don't want to do and things the Word of God says. You've got to compromise in order to keep on living. You have been led down doomsday road when you believe that. There is never, never room for compromise in the Word of God. You have to do all that He says. You have to try to do all that He says if you want to be prosperous and of good success. Now, verse 9, He says, have not I, this is God, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know God is going to be with you wherever you go? God was going to bless Joshua, and God did bless Joshua, didn't He? Oh, Joshua had good success. God was with Joshua. Who had more courage? Who had more courage than anyone? If you take Hebrews chapter 11, let's just take those in Hebrews chapter 11. Those that walk by faith, live by faith. Of those in Hebrews 11, which one do you think had the most courage? Which one was the strongest and the one most filled with courage in Hebrews chapter 11? Which one of those individuals do you think? Say it again. Somebody name one that you think. Moses. Was he strong and of good courage? Indeed he was. Who else in Hebrews 11? Rahab the harlot, strong and of good courage. Mentioning those great people that walk by faith and live by faith. I can imagine if there had been a committee writing the Bible, that they'd have said, Lord, don't put Rahab the harlot in there. But God did. Strong and of good courage. Many, many saints of God recorded in the Word of God. Strong and of good courage. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, all these great people of God, strong and of good courage, walked by faith, live by faith. But did you know there's one greater than all of them? There's one that had more strength and more courage than anybody else that we've mentioned as far as those in Hebrews chapter 11. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brethren, He was strong. He was strong. He was steadfast. He was unmovable. And He was of good courage. He was of good courage. The Bible tells us in John how that when He was about to face death, that He set His face. This is the wording that's there. That He set His face steadfastly to go toward Jerusalem. He knew what was there. He knew He was going to the cross of Calvary. He knew the suffering He was going to face. And yet He set His face to go steadfastly towards Jerusalem. You know how he could do that? Because he was what? He was strong and of good courage. And listen, let me give you one thing in closing. I'm going to give you two scriptures. One is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Word of God says, listen carefully. The Word of God says, be strong, listen carefully, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Did you know God will give you strength when you do what He says? When you try to do what God tells you to do and you try to follow God's Word and you do what is good for you and your family and for the church and for our nation, when you do what's right, God will give you the strength that you need. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then another scripture from Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And brethren, it doesn't matter in this congregation. There are people that have cancer. There are people that have family troubles. There are people who have financial troubles. There are people who have all kinds of troubles in this congregation. There are problems greater than most of you know anything about. There are dangers that we face in our lives that none of us realize what's ahead in our lives. Great dangers. Severe problems face us. But I want to encourage you upon the authority of God's Word that no matter what you ever face in your life, that you will always remember that Jesus said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? God's going to give you some bitter cups to drink along life's road, but I want you to be strong and of good courage no matter what we have to face in our lives. May God help us to strengthen and encourage each other and be an example. Let me tell all of you parents, you better be an example to your children. You better put God and His church first. You better not be compromising on what God says in His Word. If you do, your children will not prosper, and your family will not prosper. Listen, brethren, I don't think there's anything worse, and I've watched it happen over and over in my ministry. I've watched people that did not do what God's Word says and them watch their children turn out in a horrible way. In a horrible way. And did you know those parents will say over and over and over, oh, how I wish I had followed what God's Word said. May God help us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. May God help us to serve the Lord and to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, is my prayer for Christ's sake.